Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl. I'm going to title this The Sin of Korah, The Antidote to the Sin of Korah. Father, we just ask that you anoint me, instruct me, lead and guide, and give me the pen of a ready writer, that my tongue would be that. Anoint the ears and the eyes and the hearts of understanding for those that would hear, and they would receive and embrace the revelation according to this spirit of holiness in Yeshua's name. In the Parsha readings for this week, we have the rebellion against Moses and Aaron in Numbers 16, and it goes through Numbers 18:32. The title of the Parsha reading is Korach. It is about the rebellion of Korah. And then the part that we're going to emphasize is right after that, there is a discussion about the salt covenant in Numbers 18. And I believe by instruction that the salt covenant is the antidote to the rebellion of Korah. This is important in these last days. We will discuss what the rebellion of Korah is and how the salt covenant. This is the book of Jude from the King James Version. And the context is verse 4, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's jump down to that. Verse 11. "Woe to them," to these men who've crept into the body of Christ, okay? "For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." These are apostates, okay? Described in Jude in the last days. And this condemnation is coming upon them. "These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. There are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And this is our role. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, myriads, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly attacks, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This is us. These are the Lord's saints. This is our role, and this is what we're doing here now. Now we will begin to look at the rebellion of Korah, which is in Numbers 16, so we can identify the exact issues that we're going to speak against, what their ungodly actions are, and the definition of it, so that we will recognize it and discern it when it's operating. Numbers 16. Verse 1. "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, and representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Now here, this men, Korah, leads a rebellion with some key leaders and 250 leaders of the congregation. And, excuse me, the phrase here, they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And here's their charge, their indictment to them. You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy. And this is true. The entire group was holy, set apart for the Lord. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Ha! So here's the indictment against Moses and Aaron. You are exalting yourself over all of the rest of the holy congregation. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, now this is an act of humility, to fall on your face. And he speaks to Korah and says, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. So Moses identified through these statements that Korah was challenging who was God's appointed person to come near to God. Now, under the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, this has to do with callings and ministries in the body of Christ, and recognizing who is operating, knowing those who labor among you, and knowing how the Spirit is using them in an apostolic, prophetic, as an evangelist, as a teacher, in a pastoral role, as administrative giftings, as gifts of giving, mercy, service, all of these that combine the totality of that, and understanding who and how and what the giftings are, acknowledging those who labor among us and honor them for their giftings and callings. Now in verse 6, there's the test that Moses puts. Do this. Take censers, Korah, and all of your company, and put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. All right, in offering incense, it's intercession, fire. It's a fire offering. It's a burnt offering. And it's part of how you had to come into the Holy of Holies. And so it is the same today. People come in and they have giftings and offerings. Okay, we come in and the Lord will choose the Holy One, the one that He's appointed for the certain task in the body of Christ, okay, in His body. So not everyone's an evangelist, not everyone has the gifts of serving, and so on and so on. But we are to recognize who has what, and not to be jealous or competitive or disrespect, dishonor those that have callings on them. Because as it says here, you take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. You are out of order. And hence we have in the modern church a lot of ministries, a lot of pulpits occupied by people who are not appointed and anointed of God, who've usurped and taken over the roles and the administrations and the giftings and callings, and have taken it upon themselves. This is very dangerous. This is what it refers to in Jude. These people, what are they doing this for? To gainsay, it says here. They are ungodly, and they turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And how do they do this? Through doctrines of demons and seducing spirits operating in and through them. That's incense, teachings, offerings. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve him?" I mean, look at all these privileges and blessings in your callings and giftings that God has given you. It's not a small thing that God has even called us into his kingdom. We are bought without a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We couldn't even pay God back for what he's done for us, calling us in his kingdom, let alone to serve him and honor him in our respective callings and administrative giftings. And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brothers, the sons of Levi with you, and you are seeking the priesthood also. Now, in this day, we're a royal priesthood, but that does not usurp all of us. Our royal priesthood, we're called into that. But that does not usurp God's callings and giftings upon us for service to him and thereby the body of Christ. Moses proceeds with the test that he's going to present. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. You've come against the Lord's servants in their calling when you don't recognize them and want to take, I've had people say to me, "Well, I want to take over your prayer ministry." It's like, well, it's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. So if you take it over and he hasn't given it to you, if you take over my labor and he hasn't given it to you, you bring yourself under the Lord's dealings with, for you, by him, sovereignly. He's going to deal with you. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us?" Ah, here's their indictment. "We had it good in Egypt, and you called us out to the wilderness here? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you pull out the eyes of these men?" In other words, will you blind them? "We will not come up." And they refused to come before the judgment seat, you know, before the test of the Lord. And they're saying, "Are you kidding? We're not going to obey you. We're not even going to come and talk to you because we've defied you. We're part of this rebellion. Who do you think you are? We had a great in Egypt, and now you're telling us to come out here to die in the wilderness and blind us?" No. So they would not even deal with their challenges against God's leadership and callings and bodies and team ministries and working together. They challenged it. And then they said, "We're not going to even talk to you. We don't have anything to say to you. Who are you? You know, you misled us." 15. Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them."